You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. In another part of Bayview at Pier 80, you'll find the headquarters for Oracle Team USA, champions of the recently held America's Cup. The competition, which ended last month, saw some of the world's fastest sailboats whipping through the bay. The America's Cup races were fast. The catamarans reached speeds of nearly 50 knots. That's over 50 miles per hour. It pushed some of the best sailors in the world to their limits.
But that's what happens when your sailboat's like this. You're at the limit. You're on the red line. There's no sort of half speed. It's full throttle or nothing. And that's exactly the way we were sailing them.
That's Jimmy Spithill, a San Francisco resident and captain of Oracle Team USA. After pitch poling one of the boats in practice, upending it in the bay, he led his team to a dramatic victory in the best of 17 race competition, winning the oldest international sporting trophy with one of the greatest sporting comebacks in history. KALW's Ben Trefney met with the skipper to hear that story. Take it away, mate.
So we are just 15 seconds away from the moment where the entire sailing world holds its breath. It's Oracle Team USA to leeward, Emirates Team New Zealand to windward. They approach the line for the start of race number one of the 34th America's Cup.
What were you thinking in anticipation of the race's beginning?
I was thinking this is going to be the fight of our lives. We're going against the world's best team that has been so dominant. We had a fantastic team. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, Rumble in the Jungle. I mean, it's just going to be two of the biggest heavyweights going head-to-head.
All of the fans here in San Francisco and at America's Cup Park and around the world and certainly down at that tiny nation of New Zealand will be cheering huge right now. The first race of the America's Cup goes to Emirates Team New Zealand.
What experience did you draw from, say, when you saw New Zealand finish that first race first? What experience did you come back to in your life of sailing?
Well, I came back to the fact that defeat is nothing but education. So, man, we're going to have a long night of learning here and learning from our competitors.
Did you go back to your youth or any experience like maybe in your childhood or as you were becoming more of an elite sailor? I'm wondering if there was a specific thing that you were drawing back from.
Yeah, there was. It was actually when we capsized boat one. And, you know, we... You know, and me personally, I was responsible for that. So, you know, you just sort of see, when you see a boat that guys have put tens of thousands of hours into, blood, sweat and tears, and then you go out there and pretty much destroy that in the blink of an eye, well, how is the team going to react? And for, I think, any lesser team, it wouldn't be that bad of an excuse to split up and say, oh, well, look, that's over, or for a team to point the finger or, you know, start questioning guys. But that's not this team. What did this team do? Mate, the shore team, a boat building team, engineering team, and the sailing team pulled each other tighter in and said, hey, let's get through this. You know, we can get through this. We'll be stronger for this. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, you really have to see, you know I've said it before, but you really, to see what people are really about in their true colors, you've got to see them in a, you know, almost a life or death situation.
Was that the most traumatic event you've ever had as a sailor?
That's right up there for sure. It'd be that, and then once we got stuck in a big storm, I remember, in a big offshore race down in Australia in a Sydney to Hobart where a lot of guys died and boats were sunk, you know, in a huge storm. But yeah, that was right up there.
What was that experience like?
Well, it was just, you know, it started off in good conditions. We got in the middle of Bass Strait, which is down in the, you know, the Southern Ocean, and it's
different kind of boat.
Yeah, sort of an offshore boat, and you know, like offshore sailing, it's kind of like mountain climbing. When you're out there and you get in that sort of a situation, there's, you know, there's no one that can really come out and save you.
What were the conditions? What was happening in that?
Oh, it was, you know, 80 knots of wind, 100 foot waves, breaking a lot of them, and you couldn't see land. You know, it was surreal.
Did you think you were going to die?
No. I thought if it kept getting any worse, I didn't know how we were going to get through it. It just kept ramping up and ramping up, and at some point you're just looking around going, man, if one of these waves breaks on us and they've just got our number, there's nothing we can do about it. But the thing that, you know, I remember thinking was, man, I've got some of the best guys in the world here, I've got a great boat, and, you know, if anyone can get through it, we can.
That's Jimmy Spithill. He's skipper of the champion America's Cup team, Oracle Team USA.
Day number 8, race number 11, belongs to Emirates Team New Zealand. The Kiwis now just one win away from the America's Cup.
When Emirates Team New Zealand crossed that finish line to go up 8-1, what were you thinking then?
I was thinking, oh, well, people better start changing their flights because we're going to have to use all 17 races.
You didn't feel any panic or any concern?
I'd say the team felt more comfortable and relaxed when they got to 8-1 than when they were at 4-1. I mean, for some reason, the people in this team just seemed to thrive on facing the gun, you know, or thrive on that match point, you know, looking at the feet. It's when there's super high pressure, it just seems like this team operates better then.
Wouldn't it be less stressful to do it a different way?
Well, I said to the guys after we won this one, I said, next time we're doing it 9 straight from the start.
So let's go up to the day of the final race. And we knew it was going to be the final race, especially because the weather got really nice, right?
It doesn't get any better. I mean, it's kind of like turning up the pipeline if you're a surfer and it's 20 to 30 foot perfect glass barrels. You know, it was sunny. It was 20 knots of wind. It was just set up to be the ultimate winner-takes-all main event.
And then coming off the line, well, before, I mean, because the race starts before you hit the starting line. So what were you thinking then as you were coming down to this ultimate moment?
Well, many people don't know this, but you get about an hour sailing before from the dockout show to when you get on the racetrack and before the start. And we had a huge failure in our wing. It was almost touch and go whether we were going to be able to, you know, race. So we had a guy up the wing injecting carbon epoxy. We had guys grinding carbon plate on the back to make a repair that we finished with about 5 minutes to go. And so we didn't have the ideal preparation to get ready for that start. The guys pulled off the repair and then we were just trying to, you know, get our heads together and get back into the race.
What a show for the people on the shoreline here in San Francisco Bay and for sailors and non-sailors alike around the world. This is a comeback like international sport may have never seen before. Oracle has pace.
And at what point did you feel like you were going to win it?
When we crossed the finish line and the gun went off.
You were going full bore until then.
Red line, 100%, full throttle the whole way to the end. I mean, that's the only way I think you can do it in sport, and certainly on these boats, there's no other way.
The Stars and Stripes say it all. The comeback of 2013 is complete. America's Cup will stay in America.
And then what was the feeling when he crossed that line there?
Oh, mate, I mean, it's just a mixture of, you know, pure ecstasy. I mean, adrenaline, the relief, your other teammates come alongside in the chase boats. You just look into everyone's faces and see them. It's why you do it. There's no question. I mean, that whole experience, when you pull off 3 years of hard work, face all this adversity, you can't put it into words.
So what do you do from here?
It's a bit depressing, isn't it? What do you do from here? I mean, look, that's probably the hardest thing, I think, for all of the athletes and the sportsmen and the team, is when you operate like that for over 20 days without a break, you know, that sort of adrenaline and pressure and, you know, every single day at that level, then you stop and you wake up and you honestly don't know what to do with yourself. You know, you're just like, well, what, we're not going out on the boat? You know, what are we going to do? And it's, it's just ironic how you go from that to stopping. But, hey, it's a good problem to have.